Welcome, everyone. So good to be here. Have a seat. Come on and sit down. Anyways, we are just kidding. Let's go ahead and get started. Live streamers, glad you could make it. Welcome. Yep, come on in, have a seat. Happy Wednesday. We only have one announcement this evening, and actually there's two. If you come early to church this weekend, there's going to be a light breakfast on Sunday. Ooh. Now you know. And then on that evening, this Sunday at 5:30, is the Youth Fall Fest. So 5th through 12th grade, this Sunday, 5:30. Here. Yeah, so you already know how to get here. Hooray. All right, we are just going to stand on our feet. Let's not even waste any more time. We're all here today for a purpose. Lord, thank you that you made our hearts, that you know each and every one of us, what we need, Lord. We love you. Thank you in advance for meeting those needs. And we just lift our eyes to you tonight. We give you our hearts. Come and be with us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
For every battle you've won without question, for every lie that you silence with love, we acknowledge you in every danger, oh mighty God. For every promise you've kept in the vows, for every burden you lifted with ease, we are gathered with great expectation, Lord, we believe. You never cease to amaze us for all of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory and take all the credit for what you're about to do. Child that taught us trust. We are standing right here in your purpose. You stand with us. You never cease to amaze us. All of the praises, Lord, they belong to you. Jesus, receive all the glory. Take all the credit. You're about to do every good thing comes from you. Every good thing comes from you.
Every good thing.
Whoa.
Every good thing.
the crowns before the Lamb of God we sing. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, you're so worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. From you are all things, and to
yes, Lord, we give you all that we have, Lord. I may not have a crown, Lord, but I give you everything that you have given me back, Lord. Any gift, Father, all my time, Lord, you can have it all. Because you are worthy, Lord. God, I pray that our worship would come to you day and night. That we would never stop giving you the glory and honor that you deserve. Because you are good. We love you, Lord, and we just give you our attention tonight. In the name of Jesus, the name above any other name. Come and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're so glad to have you here tonight. If you would, just go and greet some of your family of faith and kids. You are dismissed.
Well, it's good to have you all tonight. Well, hey, happy October. We made it. But, you know, I was thinking, I thought, today is the first Wednesday of October, and the next month change will be November, and that's kind of crazy, because then right after that is December, and we're at Christmas already. My goodness. So it is moving along. But anyways, happy October. I like October. I'm glad we're here. I'm glad you're at church tonight. It's good to see you. If you're watching on live streams, good to have you. Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're tuning in on, it's good to have you. I'm avoiding all y'all that like to hug because today I had a big spot taken out of my back and I got stitches down my back. So I'm kind of like avoiding all y'all. So they found a spot that wasn't good, and I have one on my face that they dug open. I got to get this one taken out at the end of the month. So fun stuff. I'm looking forward to having stitches on my face later. Anyhow, so that's why I'm avoiding all of you. Yeah, air hugs. I like that, air hugs. Yeah, that's good practice. High fives are better, yeah. Anyhow. Oh, my goodness. But it's good to see you tonight. Tithe and offering, if you have something to give. As you know, there are envelopes and chairs in front of you. And if not, the ushers have some, might have some for you. But your giving tonight is always, as always, much appreciated. So let me pray over it. If you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets. Lord, we thank you to come together on this Wednesday night to worship you, to be together as a family of faith. And we're growing together. We're helping one another. And I love that, Lord. And it's just what we should be doing. And I pray as we give in unity tonight, Lord, that your blessing is all over what we do. And blessing on those that opportunity to give, maybe those that are struggling in this time. Lord, I pray that you open up doors and make ways where there seems to be no way for them. And we thank you for the fact that you are always our provider. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. A couple quick things. Last Wednesday, Tori had announced some event of some sort that was going on at the Sycamore House. Well, she wanted me to tell you that it's been put on hold. It's been canceled for now. We announced it. We want to let you know it's not happening now. So anyways, just be aware. If you picked up one of these flyers, this was something on October 12th that is not happening. Just so you're aware of that. And as I was saying, Christmas is coming. Patsy, where's Patsy? She's already got the Christmas shoebox thing rolling back there. So if you have questions about this, you can see Patsy, or if you participated last year, I know she's got some boxes back there, but I'll let her have a mic, not tonight, but in the next couple weeks to talk more about the Christmas shoebox thing. So that's already underway. As Kelly said, we do have a light breakfast before church this Sunday, then you hang out on Sunday night. So I'm looking forward to those things. How about real quick? How about two people? Two people in the house, tell me something good that God is doing in your life. We got two volunteers. Just to stamp at your seat where you're at and kind of shout it out. I know it didn't help you live streamers. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Anybody? Oh, Tom already stood up. Go ahead, Tom.
I can't. I mean, there are so many things that he does in our lives. Uh-huh. He's a doctor who's got a pain guy that works on me.
Yeah.
He's doing the job. But the only person that knows how to do all of that, Jesus, taught this doctor.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Anybody else? Yeah, Jenny. Oh, she beat. That was a race between mom and daughter. But Jenny, go ahead, Jenny.
David got another raise.
Oh, that's good. Praise God. Good, good. Tish, I'll let you share. Go ahead. Yeah, the third. We'll let a third one go. Go ahead.
Okay. This was all God-led, definitely. When we went on vacation,
yeah,
we left early so that we could see my cousin and spend time with them. And so we got a motel, went halfway, stayed there, and got up. You didn't give me my insulin shot. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot it. And we were already in Kentucky. And I said, well, let me see if I can get Walmart, the closest Walmart. get the doctor maybe to give prescription. And he said, well, if you've already had a pill, he said it's going to cost $50 a pen, and there's five of them.
Oh, my.
And I was like, I didn't want to run home. So Rick and I was like praying, and I said, oh, I forgot. We got your prescription at the VA. I said, let's see if we can find a VA. So we found one in Kentucky, and we were racing over there, didn't have any problems, walked in, and they said, I'm sorry, but we don't have a pharmacy here, so you're probably going to have to go to Cincinnati.
Oh, man.
Okay.
And where were you? You were in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. No, we were in Kentucky at the time.
Oh, Kentucky. Okay.
So we go racing into the VA there in Cincinnati, and these two really nice ladies were standing at the desk, and I said, I forgot his insulin. I was wondering if you could help us. And she goes, well, she says, are you in our system? And I said, I'm in the Dayton Springfield system. She goes, no, you're not in our system. But let me go check with Mary. I said, okay. So we're standing there, and Mary comes up, and she says, you come back here with me. She says, everything's going to be all right. She's pat my arm. She says, everything's going to be okay. I said, all right. So we went back there. She took all our information, and she told me again, pat me, and said, honey, we're going to get you on the road. Everything's all right. But I need for you to go across the hall and get a number and sit over there until they call you, and they'll put you in a room. I said, okay. So we go over there. We get number 53. And we're sitting there, and they call us to room 3. So we go in, and the lady pharmacist is talking on a screen. So we're talking to her, giving her all the information. And she says, okay, I've got all your information. She says, I want you to take your number, and I want you to go over to the other side of the hall and wait, and we'll put it up on the board. I said, okay. So we're sitting there, and the numbers are coming up. And they got right to our number, and it skipped and went to 64 or 65. And I was like, no. And I told Rick, I said, I don't want to sit in here all day. So pretty soon our number came up. We went over, we got the medication, and we left. And we were only in there 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So
that's great.
That took care
of me. Yeah, good, good. Well, God cares about the little things, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Where we have been and where we're going to continue to be and certainly be here tonight. Hebrews 11, talking about faith, believing in what we cannot see, assurance of the things hoped for. Yeah, that's what faith is, that we live by faith, not by sight, that we believe and we trust in our life as a reflection of the faith that we have in him as he leads and guides our life. That trust is what marks the steps that we live by the very things that God has said we believe. Oh, and by the way, there's a new baby in the house tonight. Yeah, if you didn't see the new brown addition to the church. That was one of four coming. So I keep that was one of four. So the church is growing in all sorts of different ways, and I like this one too. Amen. All right, we're back to Hebrews 11. So let's look at the Hebrews 11, verse number 11. So we started with Abraham last week. We're still with him tonight. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. Yes, we're talking about babies tonight. And even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, in other words, he was just very old, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore, which is the promise that Abraham would follow behind him great nations and many peoples. And that was not just in the fact of Israel itself as a great nation, but also that through Abraham, all of the nations will be blessed. That's Jesus as we gather in the family of faith. We are part of the promise of Abraham in that scripture. You know that? We are part of the fulfillment of what we just read there. So as we've been doing, let's go back and actually read about this in Genesis. So we're going to jump to Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 1. Now, growing up in church, the whole story of old Abraham and Sarah having a baby, I've heard the jokes 100 times, so I'll spare you those jokes, all right? And we'll just read what it says here. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. We'll read down to verse 11, then we'll jump to another verse, and we'll go to chapter 18 for a moment. It says there, when Abram was 99 years old, everybody say 99. 99. Yeah. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Again, this is reconfirming some things that God had already told Abram. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. Now, understand, as you know the story, I think, maybe you don't, at this moment, Abram had no kids. He's 99 years old, but yet God is promising him that he will be the multitude of nations, the father of them. And now with this, here comes the name change. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. For this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and that will be a sign of my covenant between me and you. All right, let's jump down to verse 15 of chapter 17. Same chapter, verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. And I will bless her, and she shall become nations, and kings of people shall come from her. And then Abraham, now watch this. Then Abraham fell on his face, and what did he do? He laughed. Why did Abraham laugh? He's 99 years old, and he has no babies yet, and God is making all these promises to him and to Sarah that nations will come from them, kings will come from them. They will be a great multitude, okay? Now, Abraham, and he laughed, and he said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, we're not going to go back and read the story. Sarah was barren. And by the way, there's something about barren women in the Bible that God uses in a very symbolic way, making barren not barren any longer, but to be fruitful. Sarah is one of 6, maybe 7 different women in the Bible that we find in the Old Testament that were barren, but yet God, in a miraculous way, caused them to conceive and have a child or children. In the midst of this story, because it was really shameful for a woman not to be able to bear children. Especially even if you were having babies, but you're having a lot of girls, but you never have a male, that's shameful. So Sarah would have lived she's 90 years old. And in just the cultural assumptions and the way that they lived, she would have been in some sort of shame to herself all of these years that she could not conceive and have a child for Abraham. So the promise of many nations, that he would have a multitude. Well, they tried to go about it in a different way. Remember the story? Sarah's maidservant, Hagar. They gave Hagar to Abraham. Abraham and Hagar had Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, at the end of the day, God blessed him also, by the way. And it's interesting because Hagar was shunned ultimately by Sarah and pushed away. But God saw this. Ishmael was blessed. And by the way, Hagar was the very first woman in the Bible that was directly addressed by her name from God himself. It's the first time God spoke to a woman and said her name. There's some things there with that. But Ishmael eventually became the father of some of what we would consider the Arab tribes that still exist today. And there are many in the Muslim community that trace their roots to Ishmael. Okay? Ishmael, and there's a verse that we may read a little bit later, it kind of shows this. Israel and the descendants of Ishmael, they were really thorns in each other's side through the rest of history. When you try to do things your way, instead of the way that God wants to do them, you don't make things easier for yourself. You see what I'm getting at? Anyway, let's keep reading. That Ishmaelite lived before you, verse 19. No, but Sarah, your wife, God, Abraham said, why can't we just have Ishmael fulfill this? And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. And I'll establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, and behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. And he shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I'll establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear for you at this time. And he put a date on it, next year. Now jump over to chapter 18 and verse 10. Again, there's a lot of story here. Go back and read and fill in between all of this. 18 and verse 10. For the Lord said, I surely will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now watch this. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years, and the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. In other words, she was not able to have children any longer. She was past that. Watch this, verse 12. So Sarah laughed to herself. There's some more laughing. Abraham laughed about it, and now here's Sarah laughing about it. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am all worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Now watch this. Watch what God says to Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Underline it, circle it, highlight it, memorize it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question that comes in faith. At the appointed time, I'll return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied it. She said, I didn't laugh. She denied it, for she was afraid. And he said, but you did laugh. You got caught in your little denial and lie right there. It's a whole other story. Promises, promises. God gives promises. And here's the thing about God and his promises. God is always faithful to what he says. Amen. Always. Amen. And you go back to, is anything too hard for the Lord? You have a promise. Then you look at what you see. Remember, we live by faith and not by what? God said, you're going to have a child. But what do you see? A 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman who is past the age of having babies. That's what you see. But we live by faith in what? In what God has said, because we trust him. We believe in him. And the thing is, both Abram and then Abraham and Sarai and Sarah, they believe in God. They're actively having conversations with him. See that? They believe he's there. They heard what he had said. They both laughed about it, right? But we live by faith because we believe. We trust him. Therefore, we believe and trust in what he says, in spite of what we see. That's faith. That is the life that we live in faith. See, again, God likes to work things through what seems to be impossible. And in this story, it's not only old folks, but a woman who had been barren her entire life. See, thank God that he is active and faithful to his word, even in the midst of our own mess. And the mess they made was Hagar and Ishmael. The mess they had was their own thinking because they laughed at the word of the Lord. But thank God he stays faithful in the midst when we make a mess. Isn't that true? My goodness, the amount of times that I felt the Lord said something and I jumped in and I made a mess of something. Thank God he didn't discard me at the moment. That he stuck with me in the middle of my doing things that maybe weren't exactly the way he had thought and he had planned. And was patient enough to get me back on course. Okay, so we keep saying this phrase in this church. We got to get in on what God is doing. Right? See, what God is doing is not just what we know that he says. Now listen. But what God is doing is also how he's doing what he has said. And those need to go together. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Okay. We're getting along here, God. My wife, she's been barren this whole time. And now she's well past the age of the ability to conceive a child. She, in other words, she had passed her menopause. That's just plain speaking of the word. Way past, yeah. Well, since you said it, God, I guess we'll just have to figure this out. Sarah sends Hagar over. You see what I'm getting at? It's not just hearing what he says, but doing it the way that he wants to do it. I think sometimes we hear what he says, and then we try to run ahead and make it happen. And yes, we must be proactive with things that he says, but we must be patient enough to be in on how he's doing it. Right? And it is a patience of faith, of belief, that if God said it, then he'll direct it also. And we have to be aware of both of those things. See, when we don't, there are times that we think we are doing good, but it ends up creating things that are not of God. Now, God still blessed Ishmael, but the point being is, God had a plan that... Okay, look, there's a principle of purpose in life I want you to catch. Principle is this, that the things that God calls you to do, you can never do without him. He will never call you to a life that you can do separate from him. Can you be saved without him? No. Can you live the fruit of the Spirit of the Christian life without him? No. Can you actively share the gospel without his empowerment? No. Individual purpose he calls you to in life, everything he does, even in those things, makes you come back to him. In other words, you can't live the Christian life without God being involved in your life daily. So when God speaks something, always know that you're going to have to do it with him anyways. And that's part of the glory of God. It's not only to call you to do something, but help you do it that he called you to do. See, Abraham and Sarah, they understood the promise of the great nations, but yet they tried to do it without him. Now look, I've been around the church a long time, and I've seen quite a few people that felt they heard a word from the Lord, and they went off running and chasing and doing, and they ended up in a mess. And they came back and said, I thought God said. Well, A, you may have missed it, but B, maybe he did, but you didn't wait on him. You see, I'm getting at it. He went running down the road. Instead of not just hearing the word, but being patient to do it his way. Right? Yeah, that's the story of faith of Abraham and Sarah. Then certainly then Isaac who comes. See, oh, and again, this is faith. That we see old and barren versus a great nation. This seems impossible to get here. Now again, what did God say? Listen, nothing is impossible for him. Anything can happen if God has said it. By the way, the whole basis of salvation is to believe something like that. You see that? Salvation is an incredible miracle in your life that God can take a dirty old sinner and wash him clean white as snow. That's a miracle right there. You have to believe that God can do all things if he can simply do something like that. Right? But it rolls into all these other things in life. How do I know I can be saved? Because he calls me to it. It's his word. I have faith. I trust that I am saved. Have you ever wondered if you're saved? I know people say, how do I know I'm saved? Sometimes I doubt my salvation. The only thing you have to do is have faith and trust that you are. You just have to believe. Right? Based on something that he called you to, something that he has said, that the scriptures say that if you repent of your sins, that he is faithful and just and will forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, I have to believe because I asked that he did it. And the only evidence of it is that over time there's an outward working of that forgiveness in my life. But I have to believe it happened, right? And that rolls in, that's how you start life with God, but then how you live life with God. That you simply trust what he has said enough that your life follows it. Then as you follow it, the evidence of it will start to come forth in time. Right? So, old and barren and a great nation can happen because A, God said this, he said it, this will become this. Now watch, if he didn't say that, it would not happen. Abraham and Sarah, try all they will, it will not happen. But it simply happened because God said. Right? And because God said, they had to get past their laughter and believe. Right down to the word. And it will, by the way, when all those words are happening, by this time next year, time stamped it. And it happened. Mark 9:23. This is a little story about Jesus dealing with a demonic spirit. Mark chapter 9. And verse 23. Now, the context here is that there is a boy that is possessed by a devil, an unclean spirit, and they had tried to deal with the spirit. It wasn't happening. Jesus gets there. And he deals with the spirit. He casts the spirit out of this boy. But watch what Jesus says in verse 23. And Jesus said to him, if you can, they're asking if you can do this, if you can, all things are possible to the one who what?
Believes.
Do you know that the name of our church comes out of this verse, Only Believe? That's where the name of Only Believe came from in Pastor's mind. When he planted, he started the church, he felt drawn to this passage. Now again, I know you know the story. Pastor, and the reason, and I'll give you a little backstory on Only Believe. Good to know this, because it's the name of our church where you come. Pastor was not churched. And he didn't work on a church staff ever. He just felt he got saved, and I don't know if you know his story, and he felt called to start a church. And he's got like zero experience. But he just heard the word of the Lord. And if I remember correctly, he wanted to know what he was supposed to do, and he locked himself in his closet for 3 days and fasted till God spoke to him. That's what he did. And you know, Pastor, that's not unusual. That's his personality. And he started a church in his garage, and his first building was in Botkins on Lynn Street, and it was a room probably not even this big, and it had a dirt floor. Dirt. Didn't even have a floor. And you know what? That place packed out. And it wasn't because of anything dynamic. They didn't have words on the screen. They didn't have a worship team. They had no kids' church. I don't even know if they had a bathroom that worked right. I'd have to ask about that. But people were coming. Why? And he was just drawn to this. I'm just going to believe. I only believe. I believe what God has said. And all I have is a word from him. You see? All things are possible to the one who believes. Only believe. That Abraham and Sarah, all that they had, in spite of everything in their life to the contrary, all they had was a word from the Lord. That was it. Nothing else. That they got past their laughter and believed. That if we would simply, listen, to live by that kind of faith. Remember when Jesus was dealing with the centurion? Gentile, Roman. And he said, this is great faith. Remember the story? He said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel, and I find in this Gentile Roman. He offended all sorts of people when he said that. Right? What was great faith? The guy came and said, my daughter's sick. I think it was his daughter, right? Asking, huh? Servant. Come. And Jesus, and he said, if you just say that, you don't have to come. If you just say the word, I know what happened. Don't have to come. And Jesus said, that's great faith. All you got to do is just have the word. And you believe. If we can learn to live in great faith is just simply believing. The greatness is just simply believing. That makes it great. If we would just live that way, grab hold of what God has said. Listen, in spite of everything you see around you, if you know God said it, then all things are possible because of his word. I believe. It's one thing I want to mark my Christian faith by. If you tried to boil me down to a nutshell and say, okay, if you could be known for one thing, I just want to be known as somebody, if God said it, I'm just believe it. Now, some people in the world say that's naive, that's a crutch, that's whatever they say. I just want to know that I'm doing what God has said. Regardless of what I see, what I hear, what pushes back, regardless, I just want to follow what God has said. That simple. And I know if I do that, I will stay with him all the way through. Just that simple, right? So all things are possible. You believe that?
Amen.
That's faith. Amen? All right, let's pray. So I want you to think about something with your eyes closed, head bowed. What in Scripture that God has said that in your own mind you're not sure about? What thing has God spoken to you that you simply, I don't know, God, not sure about that? I want you to grab hold of those things in faith. Now, maybe some of you have thought you heard and you tried some stuff, it didn't work out. Okay, I get it. That's life of following and hearing and applying, yes. But if that has happened in your past, don't let that jade your future, that you become unsure. That we grab hold of the things that God has said and we just simply live by it. Right? So Lord, I pray that if we have these things in our life, Lord, that we grab hold of it in a new way, refresh it in our hearts. Lord, that you, Lord, have not only said it, but because of obedience in our life, you're going to lead us in how. And I'm grateful for that. That because you have said it, you're going to provide the way. And yes, we must apply. Yes, there are times we got to work hard at stuff, but yet, Lord, you are there with us. And we're thankful for that. So I praise you, Jesus, and I worship you. I trust you. And I trust your word. We desire to live by it in all areas of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I tell you one more story about faith real quick? So when I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania, my youth group, the church was just a little bit bigger than this church. The youth group was running maybe 40 kids on a Wednesday night, 40 teenagers, 7th to 12th grade, which was kind of a large youth group for that size church. But it wasn't anything, again, it wasn't very large, wasn't crazy. It was a good thing, but it was what it was. And I remember there was a last day of the work week, we worked on Fridays, and we had off Mondays. Now we're off Friday and we work Monday, but then we work Fridays and we had off Monday, but it was a Friday. It was the afternoon, and it was near the end of the work day, and I just didn't want to start a new project. And I'm talking about, it was like 20 minutes left in the work day. So I just sat a pad of paper on my desk, and I literally thought in my mind, if I could do anything, what would I do? But in the moment when I said that, I felt the Holy Spirit quicken my heart. Because all of a sudden, in my mind, I just opened up possibilities. That makes sense. And I wrote down like four things. But and I wrote something that was really kind of strange to me because it's nothing I ever thought about before. It just came to me in a moment. But I wrote down a television show for teenagers. I wrote it in a yellow notepad. Remember the old yellow notepads with the green lines? It was on one of those. Never thought about it. I put it away and didn't think about it much, right? But then at the same time, every once in a while, I would remember that little list. And I remember in my mind chuckling, why in the world did I write down a television show? I know nothing about this. I'm in a church of 150 people with 40 kids. Like, yeah, we're going to go on TV. You know, it was kind of a funny thing. And I did nothing with it. I didn't say, well, I thought that was, now I'm going to try to figure it out in my circumstance. You know what I mean? I just kind of left it go because all I had was that, but no direction. Does that make sense? When we ended up at the Botkins Church, we ended up, and I told the story a couple weeks ago how we ended up there. I was there probably about a year and a half, 2 years maybe. And at the time, Pastor was on television. Pastor Dosick had a television program. We would always have Monday staff meeting. We'd go out to eat for lunch. And we were at a Chinese restaurant in Lima, Ohio. I remember that. Wasn't very good. But we were there, and that was Monday staff meeting. And over the weekend, I was just sitting at home flipping through the channels, and I came across, there's a TV station up there. I think it's TV 44. It's a Christian station. Yeah. There was a television show for teenagers, and I was watching it, and I thought, this is terrible. It was like really, it's kind of embarrassing, you know. So, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not making fun, but we're sitting there at lunch, staff meeting, and I bring this up because they were talking about something with Pastor Shaw. I said, yeah, I saw a teen. And he looked at me and he goes, you want to go on TV? I said, yeah. Did you see God? Listen to me. That was probably at least 3 years later or so. It's something I wrote down on a yellow notepad and shoved in my desk. I thought I heard from the Lord, but did nothing because I had no direction. But yet the entire time, God was setting something up that came to fruition over a lunch of something I said, and boom, there it happened. And I would say within 4 months, we were on TV, and we were on television for 12 years. Local stations, we were on a network called JCTV, which satellite around the world. We got correspondence from that TV show from every continent in the world but the Asia, far Asia. There were 2 years that I was interacting by email with a man who lived in Iraq who saw the show on satellite television that was questioning me about Jesus. We have stacks of emails that used to come in from people watching the show. And I say that to say this, that I could have heard that in my heart and said, that's just dumb. Who? That's prideful to think that. That's, you know what I'm talking about? But just to grab something and say, okay, why not? Why not, right? And how God can orchestrate because you would say in belief, well, why not? And you never know what God will do when you're open up to his possibility of what he says. You see what I'm getting at? So you just never know. Amen, right? Okay, all right. We'll see you Sunday morning. Yeah, Jerry, you have something?
I seen you on TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I know, I know when we came to church, Tish and Rick said, well, you used to watch you on TV all the time. Yeah. Anyways. All right, amen. We'll see you Sunday.